Maybe I'm Casey, maybe I'm Casey, maybe I'm not.
All right, very exciting to have Xavier Woods on the podcast with us today. Third year safety for the Cowboys.
Yep.
You are from Monroe, Louisiana.
I am from West Monroe.
West Monroe, excuse me.
I'm going to let y'all have it the whole day.
West Monroe? No. Please correct me. I'm not familiar with Monroe, West Monroe, Louisiana, but I love New Orleans. I'm going this weekend. I think we talked about it on the herd earlier.
Yep.
Have you spent a lot of time in New Orleans?
Besides football games? No, not really.
No?
It's not a place.
Because it's like 4 hours away.
Yes.
So people do this with me because I'm from Pittsburgh. So they'll be like, oh, yeah. So, do you like the Eagles? I'm like,
No, not really.
No, yeah. Because that's 4 hours away. Pittsburgh has a whole team. We won six championships.
Matter of fact, it's Dallas and New Orleans is the same distance from where I'm from. It's like 4-4 from Dallas.
Right.
And so it's broken up. Fans like Dallas, fans like New Orleans. Growing up, I was a Titans fan. Steve McNair is my favorite player.
Okay.
And then Vince Young.
So are you happy? Well, I mean, obviously you guys.
Not now.
Right.
But not even rooting for them a little bit? Maybe a little.
Okay.
A little bit. Little snaps.
Don't tell anybody. Well, look. Okay. So full transparency, I picked the Cowboys to be in the Super Bowl this year before the season. And the Chiefs. So, you know, Chiefs still alive. But I really thought that you guys had... I thought you had the talent, your Super Bowl level talent, and you know you started out great, but kind of went through a little rough stretch there. In your opinion, what was? I don't know if you can ever point to one single factor, but if you can, button up the season, what went wrong for you guys this year?
But we did have the talent. We believe we did have the talent. We're just gonna put it together. We're just gonna overcome adversity. When we get down, we were down.
Yeah, right.
We never came back. And when we were up. So as a team, we could never overcome adversity. I mean, we're young. I point to that as a reason. And it was just on us. The onus is on us, not just on the coaches. I said earlier, Coach Gary was our leader. He was our coach. So he's going to get most of the flack for us losing. But it's on the players, too. He didn't go out there and lay egg against the Bears,
right,
or lay our egg against the Jets, which I believe was our worst loss of the year, was the Jets. We win that game, then we make the playoffs if the season goes how it went. It was on all of us. We're just going to put it together.
Well, I think also with Garrett had been there for, 10 years?
Yeah.
So it was. I don't think it was necessarily this particular season. It was just kind of reaching a breaking point in the way that the season went kind of affected that.
And we all knew what the – We all knew it. If we didn't make the playoffs, we win the Super Bowl, what was going to happen at the end?
Yeah. So you kind of had that feeling in the building.
That last game, we was like, we win this, Eagles win, we're going to have a new head coach. If we don't, if we make the playoffs, that's kind of a sticky situation. You make the playoffs, you fire the coach. Win the Super Bowl, of course he's going to stay.
Right.
Of course.
No, I felt like that too towards the end of the season. It was like, it's Super Bowl or bust for Garrett. What's that feeling like? Because you, obviously very much like Garrett, and he drafted you, so you have some loyalty to him there. So what's that feeling like? Like, knowing, obviously it's not all on you, but, collectively in the locker room, knowing that the coach is going to get fired?
Oh, this is my first one. I mean, some guys in the locker room, they've been on different teams.
Right.
So it's been different coaches and stuff, so it's common. But this has been my first one ever, even in youth football, switching coaches, getting a coach fired. It was tough to see, because he has feelings. He's a man.
Right.
That last week, you could just see the expression. He wanted it so bad. Then the last meeting that we had, the team meeting, you could just tell he was hurt. And you could just tell that he knew what the inevitable was, that he was going. It was kind of like his farewell speech. And he was emotional. He was emotional after the game when we found out the Eagles had won. And it kind of saddened us, too. It definitely saddened us in the locker room. And we just kind of, but we knew.
Yeah. I mean, that's rough because there's obviously a human side to sports. And coaches especially, I mean, every coach gets fired. It's just it's part of the deal. And that's why I try really not to call for coaches to get fired, because I think it's a bigger – to me, I don't look at the coaches. Unless it's very obvious, all right, this guy's just not qualified. He's not getting it done. The team is a disaster. you know, I felt like Freddie Kitchens, like, that was not a situation that was working. That's not, like, entirely an indictment of Freddie Kitchens, but, like, there's, you got to come in and command the room. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to come in and command a group of men and keep this shit under control.
Which is tough.
Right.
Which is tough.
Which, right. And you got to command respect. But I don't, it's not just the coach that's getting fired. Like, there's assistant coaches and there's
everybody except for everybody got fired except for
training department
two.
And there's coordinators mm-hmm. and like this is a whole bunch of people that are getting fired when a head coach is getting fired because the new guy comes in wants to bring their people, of course. Like mm-hmm. the purpose of firing a coach is to reset yep. and, you know, start new and bring in new energy. So I get that. It's been an emotional experience, especially for someone that drafted you. So you haven't met Mike McCarthy yet?
I haven't been in the building since
the last exit. What was the reaction to him in Dallas?
He's a winner. And the stories that I've heard, I mean, I've talked to some Packer players before. He's a great coach. We're going to love him. He's going to treat us right. He knows how to treat players, knows how. I would say one thing, our practices were hard. Like they didn't tone down at all
under JG,
yeah, they didn't tone down at all from training camp to the end of the season, and that was one thing that we kind of had. It was kind of a conflict to where, man, we're practicing so hard at the last game of the year or two games to the year to where we're having fresh legs, and it's tough. It's tough on other teams.
Was that always consistent or was just it was this year?
That's consistent. It's okay. Consistent, but with the way the league has changed. You have to update your system. You have to be able to say, okay, we got to rest our guys some way, somehow. We have to find some way to rest our guys or give our guys a break on the practice field or no padded practices. Let's go through a walkthrough. And that's one thing that needed to change. And the stories I heard from McCarthy, he does that. He knows, he's bringing analytics, so hopefully he kind of likes the practice a little bit towards the end. I understand that you need hard practices.
Right.
Towards the end, man, we're basically jogging out there.
No, that is a review that Mike McCarthy has got, that when he came in, he was very, like, and then he was adjusted mm-hmm. because he spoke to, like, the leaders on the team, and it became more of a partnership between him and the players. I think what happened with McCarthy and the Packers really was just between him and Aaron Rodgers. And yep.
like, we can't practice like that's what it is. We can't practice like the 90s. Can't practice like that.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole entire year, you can't practice like that.
No, it's not sustainable.
No.
What about Dak Prescott? Because I personally love Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. I think he's a winner. I love his intangibles. I think he should get paid. And I think Definitely. He's the future of the Cowboys. And it's kind of weird to me. Like, certain things are just weird. We'll get to mm-hmm. another weird thing in a minute. But, like, it's weird to me that people still don't think that Dak Prescott is the franchise quarterback of the Cowboys.
I don't understand why. I really don't understand. He led the team to, 14-3, I think, whatever it was. He's won a playoff game. They just want to see a Super Bowl. Cowboy fans are tough, toughest fans of any team. So they haven't won a Super Bowl. It's not my quarterback. Well, if it's not Tony Romo, it's not my quarterback. Because Tony Romo is the beloved son.
Yes, I'm not a Cowboys fan, so, and I don't have to answer to them. I've never understood Tony Romo, excellent broadcaster, and was a good quarterback. But, like, the insane, like, the idea that they were going to bench Dak Prescott for Tony Romo, I'm glad we got past that. That was a rough time for us. Okay, so you like Dak, and Dak mm-hmm. is the guy.
Yeah, that's
the
guy.
What is he like in the locker room? Like, is he, like, you said, like, it's hard to walk into a room and command a group mm-hmm. of guys. Like, what does that take to be able to do that?
First, it's being an alpha dog, but not being the rah-rah guy that you see in public. But being a guy, you know that if we go in the war fight, he's going to be there with me no matter what, if camera's not involved. So we lead. I mean, we follow his lead, his word when he speaks. He has our attention. He has the command of the room when he speaks. And he shows by his actions as well, how he prepares, how he's in first one in, last one out. And it's just what he brings to the table. I mean, he's a quarterback. So as a quarterback, you're basically obligated to be a leader. Basically, your responsibility is to be a leader. You're the quarterback of the team, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. You've got a big, big, big onus on your shoulders.
Right, which is why I think he's done an incredible job, especially as a fourth.
So much flack that he gets, and he just brushes off and just keep playing and just keep winning.
Is it ever get annoying? Like, is there a guy, maybe not even just with the Cowboys, just like throughout your career, there's somebody who's always trying to give, like, a big rah-rah speech or do like the extra fired up stuff, and you guys are kind of like, all right, like chill out. I'm good. I don't need you to hype me up.
We have a guy. Yeah, we got a guy.
We're like, man, I'm chilling right now. I'm just trying to get my socks right.
You all know who it is, but we have a guy. That's the crazy part. I joke. He's going to say at least 5 cuss words in 2 sentences. That's going to be his thing. 5 cuss words in 2 sentences.
That sounds like me, but I'm not trying to do that while I'm hyping somebody.
No, it's going to be at least 5 cuss words to get us hyped up. And then you can tell the difference. Then we bring Michael Bennett in, and he's philosophical. Right. He's going to give you a quote. He's going to give you – he's going to make you think. And that resonated with us a little more.
Yeah.
Because that was just a different voice.
Right. That's funny. Okay, so the other weird thing that I think is going on right now is Joe Burrow. So obviously last night was the national championship game. You're from Louisiana, so you were kind of rooting for LSU, even though that's not really your team. Georgia is your team, right?
Yeah, but I was rooting for him. Yeah. I was rooting for the home state.
Yeah, so I mean, I just like the story. I think Ed Orgeron is fun. He's really endearing, and he fits, like, he's the culture there.
Yeah, he fits LSU in Louisiana.
Perfectly. Every time he's on the mic, great state of Louisiana, like go Tigers.
From how he talks to everything.
He is. He's perfect for that role. But I think that Joe Burrow is like a transcendent talent. Mm-hmm. I don't like to compare guys like, oh, this is Tom Brady. Like, no, because there's only one Tom Brady that's ever lived. So chill. He's not Joe Montana because there's only ever been one Joe Montana who is like GOAT 1A. So just chill out with the comparisons. It doesn't matter. I think he is going to be great. He's going to have to overcome the Bengals, which is a whole other conversation. But what is it with Joe Burrow that people don't get? Or do you not feel that highly about
Joe Burrow? I feel like he's going to be a good NFL quarterback as long as the Bengals put the right pieces around him. That would be the only thing stopping him. But, man, he plays in the NFL scheme with LSU. That OC is phenomenal. What he does, I'm like, this is NFL plays. Touchdown. These are all NFL plays. Then the throws he makes, the receivers aren't close to open. He throws them open, which is what an NFL quarterback does.
Right.
So, yeah, I believe he's going to be a great talent. Definitely a great talent. As long as the Bengals put the right pieces around him and build.
Yeah, the Bengals make me nervous, but I'm very high. they make me nervous. I'm hoping, like, so the Dolphins have.
No, he's not making the pass, the Bengals.
What about this? So the Dolphins have 12, like, this is, all right, this is what's wrong with me. Because, like, you know, this is what I waste my time on. The Dolphins have 13 picks this draft. And 2 of them are in the first round. And then they have Tennessee's next 2 first round picks in 2020 and 2021. Houston, I'm sorry. Houston. Yeah, this is a deep dive. So,
because this is not happening.
What?
This is not happening.
Come on, what if they give them like?
They are not getting. They are not getting number one. The Bengals need a quarterback, and the best quarterback is number 9. So they is not giving that pick up, and then.
But what if they give them like 3 first round picks?
And who? What quarterback are they gonna get?
They got
Tua. We'll be gone.
No. They can.
Well, how's the draft go?
They'd have to move back to 5. But maybe they can give 2 of those picks to someone else, and then they can move back up and get Tua.
They're not getting Burrow. This is not what's draft day. This is not draft day.
it's so frustrating because I like I'm a Dolphins fan, and there's just I don't know how I feel. I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't think
between him and Tua, I kind of like Tua better, but. Before Tua got hurt, I would believe he would have been number 1.
Okay, so I liked Burrow more than Tua before Tua got hurt. So I'm like OG on the Burrow bandwagon.
I was on Tua. Tua.
People love Tua. And listen, I think Tua is great, a great talent. I don't like all the injuries. I think when you he has had 3 injuries.
True. But also, this is what he does. And he's a winner.
If he's available, and like to me, that's important. It's great if you're talented, but if you can't be physically on the field, it's not helpful.
That's true. I mean, the most important thing you could be is available. But at the end of the day, that's a transcending talent. What Tua brings, that arm is phenomenal.
Tua's great. And I just don't.
Both of them are great. Both of them are like, wasn't it Jameis and
Mariota?
Mariota? It's like that. I hope they don't turn out like that. But it's 1-2. You don't lose with either one. Which I mean, one has, but one has, yeah. But
you're being kind. yeah, I don't know. I think I want to go with a more known commodity, and also I think Tua will have more success if he goes somewhere where he can sit behind someone for a year. Because that injury was so intense.
Hey, he won't be playing next year.
Yeah, I want him to go somewhere where he's sitting behind someone who is going to put him in a good position, like an Alex Smith type of mm-hmm. situation for the year after. And I don't know, because there's so many teams that need quarterbacks, if that's going to happen for him. Because if he goes to a place where a team's like, yeah, we need you out, like, we're going to need you out to this year, it could be problematic for him.
Well, he won't. I don't think he'll start until halfway.
Burrow? Oh, who's going to start over him?
Think they're going to trade Andy Dalton or something? Think they're going to cut him?
Yeah, Andy Dalton ain't there next year.
All right, if Andy Dalton's not there, then he will. But if Andy Dalton is there, they're going to.
For the sake of the quarterback. They are drafting Joe Burrow back to Ohio after the greatest statistical quarterback season in the history of college football, and they're going to trot Andy Dalton.
He goes
out
there first game. He goes out there first game and second game, and he bombs. Then what?
Then he sits. Next, they're not gonna.
He sits a couple weeks, and he comes out and he bombs. It's a little different. He's not ready. First week, oh, he's a bust.
No.
This is how you guys portray him.
First week,
second week, he bombs. Oh, this guy's a bust.
I would never do that.
This is how the media portrays.
No. It's not you guys, first of all.
First round draft pick.
I am not in that category.
I'm just saying.
First of all, I understand what you're saying, but that's not that. No.
Huh? He won't.
Bengals fans are going to just. After all this. All
right, he might be ready. He won't be ready. The Bengals won't be ready for him.
That I can agree with.
Yes,
but I mean, if you're
Bengals
a Bengals
won't be ready
fan,
for him.
If you're a Bengals fan and you're sitting there and Joe Burrow is sitting there and Swaggy Joe and you're trying Andy Dalton out there, whew, that's a rough sell.
I mean, Eli.
For Bengals fans?
Eli came out starting. Eli did come out starting.
Yeah, and that did not work out well for them.
I'm saying, but you got to get the guy a chance. Danny got to sit, look at everything, assess, say, okay, now I came in. He came in balling. Came in balling.
I don't know.
Came in balling.
I'm just saying.
That's a lot of pressure to go week one and go out and start. It's a lot of pressure.
Sharks are born swimming. You got to do it. I don't know
Since
how
he does have a great,
fans.
I mean, offense. I mean, running back is good.
Yeah,
if AJ comes back, he'll have a weapon.
Yeah,
AJ and Tyler, so he'll have weapons as long as they come back.
Yeah, I don't.
But week one is tough.
Dolphins try that. It will never happen. But please.
No, Dolphins is
5 first round picks.
Tool won't start, but they somehow. If your situation comes true, he's starting day one for the Dolphins.
For sure, he'll look so handsome.
They
in
are Tyler
colors.
Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick is. Well, if they take Tua, then Ryan Fitzpatrick.
They're tired
is
of losing. They're just tired of losing.
Yes, we're very tired of losing. But Ryan Flores. I thought he did a good job this year.
Yeah, everything. Yes.
Okay, so who wins the Super Bowl before we let you go?
I have the 49ers.
49ers.
49ers win.
And who comes out of the AFC? Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Yeah.
I'm not giving the Titans a chance, but it'll be closer than that. Run game is kind of scary for.
Derrick Henry is terrifying.
Man, for any team, they can control the clock.
Have you played against Derrick Henry?
We played him last year.
What's it like tackling him? Is that
fun? No, not really. Certain guys that kind of make it slow down just a little bit. I'd rather get shook than get. Well, I'd rather get ran over than get shook. But that guy's a different.
You don't want to get run over by him.
Him, Leonard Fournette. Guys who seek contact,
yeah,
make it kind of slow down, slow your feet a little bit. Him, Leonard, running back for Devontae Freeman,
mm-hmm.
seeks contact. That's a linebacker, lineman playing running back.
That's a bad man. He's a very big guy, and he runs standing up. So, yeah, I could see that being a problem. All right, cool. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you all for having me.
Appreciate it. Next time you're in town, stop by. We'd love to have you again.
Thank you for having me.
And good luck next season.
Next time be a Super Bowl.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
We'll be winning. Yeah. Hopefully. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm not. Ooh.